Hey, I'm Terry Molinaro, and I believe that we as the body of Christ are here for such a time as this. I love to say this, blessed to be a blessing, that we are called to be a light. And look, friends, if we don't do it, if we aren't the light, who's going to be the light? The body of Christ has always been a house of action. And hey, who says we can't have some fun along the way?
Terry, it's Ryan Seacrest. You're in broadcast. I'm trying to be in broadcast. There's something in common. Good luck to you, Seacrest House.
This is the Church Acts Podcast. Hey there, and welcome back to the Church Acts Podcast. If this is your first time listening into the conversations, or if you've been here before, listen, I am honestly grateful to have you here with me. Times are tough, especially on the brothers and sisters around the world. I was just talking with someone who, man, there's a place in the world where the body of Christ and Christians, I haven't been able to hear the full conversation yet, but people are being totally persecuted. They're trying to completely eradicate them, burning houses down, doing unspeakable things to people. Times are tough around the world, but that doesn't change the fact that God is on the throne. Amen? We can't let that become an excuse, though, to do nothing. He is on the throne, but you and I are here on the earth. We know that the Holy Spirit partners with us and gives us the ability to do the things that are beyond our natural ability, but we actually need to be the ones to stand up in boldness and in faith and move it forward. Just like the intro said, you know, to be men and women of action, because regardless of the fact of us acting, the enemy will continue to make the moves and will continue to act. We know that. But I have good news. Jesus overcame the enemy and has delegated his authority to us here on the earth through the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to go there for a second today. Do you think that it's by accident that you wake up feeling heaviness, maybe a lack of purpose, that the people that I know and probably that you know in your own circles are just filled with a sense of anxiousness and fear and sometimes even depression? Or is it by design? I'll tell you what, if you start looking at these things happening in your life and go, oh, I guess this is just my life, I guess it just sucks to be me, you're going to fight different and have a different resistance level than if you knew that these things were being sent against you to make you inoperative and inactive when it comes to your calling and the things of God here on the earth, right? I've been sensing this for a while and have been seeing it come to pass more and more. It's almost like this dial that measures the intensity of the attacks that the enemy has been dishing out and, you know, opposing the, you know, the church and the body of Christ with. And that dial has been turned up. Can you feel it? A lot of us can certainly see it. Even people in secular realms who don't really know and have language to put to this, they go, man, I've been noticing a lot of like crazy things going on in the world recently. I've never heard so many people tell me before, like me personally, that they're just really struggling. But that's not what I want to talk about today, because struggle is inevitable. I'm not saying it's enjoyable, but it is inevitable. The Bible says, hey, in this world, you will have trouble. But then the Bible says, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. We don't need to solve for struggling, which is what we've been doing a lot of in our Western cultures. We need to be a people who take up our positions in Christ, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and then push back against the darkness. It blows my mind, though, how many people refuse to even acknowledge that there is darkness. And I'm not saying you need to become this full-on, like, you know, exorcist or something like that, but how are you supposed to stand against something that you don't even acknowledge is real? Where is this podcast coming from today? Well, to be honest, I've tried to do this one about three times, but for whatever reason, I kept trying to put it together and it just wasn't flowing until now. So I'm trusting God that it's the right time. Fear has been personally tormenting me for a little bit. It's been playing on my mind, trying to convince me of things that would try and keep my personal world small. Sometimes it's so easy to see this as me, like, you know, there's just something with me. I wish that I could be like this person, or I wish that I could get stuff together and do things like that person. But there's something in me that whispers when fear is shouting, that tells me in my heart that this is not me. This is not right for me to be experiencing these things, that I need to be resisting the enemy, that I have been given a sound mind. I've not been given one of fear, that the Holy Spirit and power that is in me is greater than the stuff that would be coming against me in the world. See, that voice reminds me of what I said earlier, how I'm going to fight different and I'm going to resist differently, because now it's clear that it's not just me malfunctioning in some way, shape, or form, but it's something sent on assignment to take me out and keep me from stepping into what God has for me in its fullness. And this is a bit of a side note. We're going to be talking a little bit about this, but there's times where I've spoken with people. I've even interviewed psychotherapists before, and we've been speaking, and I hate it. There's something in my spirit that's just like, I hate this when they refer to it as your fear. I remember there was this girl once actually, and she would always refer to anxiety as her anxiety. She's like, my anxiety and this and that. And it's almost like she started to identify with that. But let me encourage you here with a simple truth in love and in humility. I get that we struggle with things, but never identify with things that the Holy Spirit has not spoken over your life or has given to you. I think we need to start adopting and adapting to this posture of, if God has not given it to me, if he's not spoken it over me, if it's not in his word, if there's no indication, I'm going to stop putting this on myself and say, hey, this is not me. I am not an anxious person. There's fear or there's anxiousness that has been coming against me to rob me of peace. But actually, I've been given the mind of Christ, and greater is he that partners with me and he that is with me and flows through my veins than this fear or anxiousness that would be trying to come upon me. See, we need to stop just putting it on ourselves, because our posture is going to be different. If this is just, oh, this is my lot in life, you're not going to fight the same way as if it's like, okay, this stuff is coming against me to rob my peace. Now all of a sudden it's like, you're on alert, you know? We have a choice. Are we going to allow this demonic wave to just rush over us? Or are we going to stand together with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and resist and overcome as a result? Can I ask you a question today? What would be easier for you to be convinced of? A blatant lie or a lie that was kind of woven in a way that it had some truth in it? Obviously, I'm assuming it would be the latter. See, there's a lot of people right now that I personally know that are falling victim to something insidious that has been going on for thousands of years. It's this lie of self-sufficiency. Sufficiency apart from God. If you go back in the Bible, you'll find many stories of people assuming that, hey, you know, we know what to do, so we'll do it ourselves. Sometimes you even have people like King Saul, right? I was just reading this the other day, doing things that appear to be holy and with God in mind, but really underneath it, you know, they are far apart, God's will and then what's actually going on. Here's how it plays out. Well, let's say you are experiencing fear or depression or lack of purpose or vision. We then self-medicate. Maybe we're going to choose the seemingly healthier route. Maybe we're saying, hey, okay, I see that this is going on, so I think I need to go to therapy. People are telling me, let's go to therapy. Okay, hear me. Therapy is not bad. I'm not coming against that, okay? When it is led by God, therapy can offer incredible tools to help us. And sometimes you just need someone to talk to, okay? But I've noticed this trend that is woven into some therapy, and I want to talk about it for a little bit. Don't misinterpret what I'm going to say. I'm not saying you should not do this. I'm saying we need wisdom here. See, woven into it sometimes is confusion, endless learning, promises of freedom, but not a clear path. So I've seen people just chase these little doorways of hope. Oh, this seems like hope. Okay, I'm gonna chase this down. Okay, not there. Oh, I'm gonna chase this one. Okay, the answer was not there too. You know, these doorways of hope and promised freedom, only to not find it while wasting time. Can I be as bold as to say, where have we given up? You know, where have we taken off our armor and left our spiritual discernment behind to the point where we no longer go to God? We no longer are in prayer. We're no longer getting wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And can I even add something that was not in my notes? We're also not building good Christian community. But instead we're just content with pills in a bottle. Friends, listen, if that was the solution, we'd all be set free from things the moment we start taking the pills, the moment we start going to therapy. Now, this can be a path along the journey. And I'm also almost a bit leery to say that, okay? This can be something that God chooses to use, and I understand that. But when did we stop going to God, right? Where did we lay it down, the confidence that we had in Christ? Where did we trade the beliefs? Or where did perhaps we stop short of actually building up our faith to trust in the word of God that tells us that, hey, we are indeed overcomers, that our inheritance is not to be the tail, but to be the head. Listen, heads lead, tails follow. There's been a lot of following taking place within the body of Christ recently. And I want always to come and hopefully us come to a sense of, I feel strengthened and I feel empowered. I don't want to talk about just negative things when it comes to the body of Christ, but I feel like sometimes I've been seeing this. I've been seeing, and there's people in my mind right now, multiple people where it's like, it's almost like they just lay down the freedom that they could actually obtain. And they're just trying to do anything to get by, right? And the reason I'm actually talking about this is because this has happened in my own life and I'm just not okay with it. And so I wanted to talk about it. Recently, we had someone come to my church to talk about the armor of God. We get this from Ephesians 6, where it talks about putting on the full armor of God, not partial individual pieces, so that we may stand against the enemy, for our battle is not against flesh and blood. If you're not familiar, the armor of God, you have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. One of the pieces that the speaker focused on was the shield of medication. The shield of coping mechanisms. That's not right. The shield of counseling. No, my friends, they were talking about the shield of faith. Okay. The shield of faith. Wisdom is found all throughout the Bible. Sometimes I wish that instead of the books of the Bible, like Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, we just had like the heading, if you are fearful, read this. This is exactly how to get out of it. Or, you know, if you're feeling depressed, go read this and do this specifically. For whatever reason, that's not how it's laid out. I think importantly, because then it kind of gives us a total picture and people's perspectives aren't so narrow, which is why we shouldn't just cherry pick certain scriptures, but we should get the full context of the Bible and what's going on. If you think about it, the best things in life anyway take work to uncover and understand. So I hear this like, oh, I don't really understand the Bible. The Bible's like that though sometimes. Sometimes we really have to search and study for whatever reason. It's interesting. Like we take secular topics and we go, what's something important? I don't know. You can take something as little as personal hygiene. You could take other things as health. Like being a doctor, that's a big responsibility. So why shouldn't, if we use the same measurement that we use in the Bible, just be able to take, I'm going to take a lesson on how to use a scalpel. I'm going to take this on, how to treat certain things with a kidney. And I'm going to take, how to help with a birthing process or whatever. And then you say, okay, I'm a doctor now. We'd be like, are you kidding me? Get that person away from me. Do not allow them through the door. Do not allow them to operate with me. Even though that's exactly what we do with the Bible, right? We're like, oh, this is kind of confusing because I read one thing here, one thing there. I don't get the full picture. Listen, why do we do this even more important? We need to get the full grasp on it, right? We need to look at it. We need to study it. And because of that, when we actually do that, we're going to get a lot more understanding. The Bible is like that sometimes. You know, it feels a little bit like, I don't really know what this means, but we actually have to go study. And when we do, that's when the wisdom comes. You know, sometimes we really have to just search things out, but make no mistake. And this is what I wanted to say. Ultimately, the wisdom is there. It might not just be, flip to page 48 and all of a sudden all the wisdom is there. But, you know, it is there when we stop and we look at things. There was this parable that Jesus taught once. I'll read it for you now, and it's a bit long, but track with me because it's a great one. Matthew 13, verses 3 to 23. Listen, and this is Jesus speaking. A farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon withered under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns and grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" And Jesus replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use these parables. For they look, but they do not really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me, and let me heal them, which is so interesting. I'll say that one more time. And they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Now, listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on the good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. There is so much to be said in that, but I want to talk about two things in particular today. The first is in verse 12. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Did you catch that last part? For those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Do we think that it's God that takes that away? Like, if we actually stop and think about this for a second, because usually we just read this and we just move on to the next verse. But do we think that it's God that takes this good stuff away? I don't think so. For every good and perfect gift comes from above. Maybe is it when we stop listening for the Holy Spirit's voice, when we stop seeking out the wisdom and start hearing from, I don't know, influencers, start hearing from our counselors or our friends or pop culture, these voices will become louder. And then even the good, pure understanding that we know is true, that we have, will be taken away from us. This is where I see a lot of the people that I love just operating in. Good intentions, right? Good things that they are doing by the world standard, but just so slightly off that they aren't realizing that they're trading the truth of God for the sin of self-sufficiency. The wisdom of God, though, is only found in the wisdom of God and from God. It is not found in just advice alone, just works alone, just research alone. Verse 12, to those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given and they will have an abundance of knowledge. Hey, but for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Now, the second thing that really stands out to me, verse 20 and 21, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or persecuted for believing God's word. And to be honest, this is where I think a lot are. I'm saying it with humility and pointing the finger only at myself on this one. I can't help but ask myself, do I have a surface level relationship with God? Do I have communicated knowledge on a Sunday and then allow that to substitute a deep relationship with God? Check off the box. Am I learning or leaning on my spouse's relationship with God? Or a family member's relationship to get me through? Or do I have a deep relationship where I am firmly planted? Because it says right there, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they do not have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. And if you think the examples that I used earlier are just coincidental, no, it's true. I've full transparency, and I've spoken about this in the past in the podcast, how there were times where it's like my mom would wake up every single morning, I'd see her and she'd be just praying and she'd be getting into the word, and then I'd go to her when I needed prayer, okay? And in essence, I assume I almost made her like a bit of an idol in my life. I would say, okay, I just need some prayer about this, and we'd stop and pray, but really it was her praying for wisdom, right? But I did not have that. And then I start to realize, oh shoot, I'm not going to live at home forever. Oh shoot, my mom's not going to live forever. What am I going to do? Am I going to own this? Because before, that was a very surface level of faith. So when things came my way, I was not the one who was praying. Really? Is that how I wanted to live my life? How am I supposed to stand and get the wisdom? Oh, something's going on in my life. Oh, one second, I'm just going to pick up the phone and call my mom. See, I was leaning on someone else's understanding, right? I wasn't leaning on the understanding that God would give to me perfectly. Because I'm telling you right now, there is wisdom in your life that you need. You need help navigating relationships. You need help with different, as I said, relationships, but even in your job place, you need help knowing what to do. You need the wisdom, you need the yes or the no or the buy or the sell or whatever, but that only comes from God. But how are you going to get that, even though it is available to you in waiting, if you don't go to God yourself? People who have not built that strong foundation, Jesus looked throughout all the time and said, they fall away as soon as they have problems. They fall away as soon as they are persecuted for believing God's word, as soon as they have problems. Now, to bring it back to what the preacher was talking about on that Sunday, as soon as problems come up, we can easily fall away when the roots don't go down deep because we don't have that faith, that deep-rooted assurance. In Ephesians, it lays it all out. Listen, our battle, these things that you and I face, it's not just human things. There is an adversary. There's a kingdom of darkness. You can choose to believe or ignore those facts, but that is the truth. That's why we need to, according to the Bible, put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the enemy. The thing that the Bible says, though, that will extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy is the shield of what? It is the shield of faith. So how are we supposed to overcome if we can't stand and resist? And how are we supposed to stand and resist if we do not have faith? And how are we supposed to have faith if we don't allow the truth of God's word to go down deep into our hearts if we aren't spending time in his word and renewing our minds with truth? We can't. Some won't. But if you're listening to this right now, I want you to hear me say this. Everything that you face, everything that I face can be overcome. If you choose to wake up, see things for what they are, and be bold. I pray that we will be people who stop filling ourselves with confusion by trying to be self-sufficient. I'm going to try to do the right things apart from the God things, apart from God trying to fight these battles. I pray that we will see things for what they are. Realize that if it is in the word of God, it stands as an eternal decree, right? Things cannot change when God says it. That we would search and find what the Bible says and then stand strong with the word of God in our hearts in faith. When we do, we will go from overcome to overcomers in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless the church. Now go with that and be a man and a woman of action. God bless, my friends.